Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we are awaiting your phone calls and text messages, your lawn and garden questions for Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi, now official lawn and garden. We always do that, so it's nothing new. I've been gone. You've been gone.
Yeah. But here we are.
Together again.
Back in action.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Julie. It's good to see you, John. Thanks,
thanks for both of you for
coming in. Again, we have a lot of brain power in this studio. I'm not including myself. But if you have any kind of lawn or garden question, by all means, call Julie and John for your specific. Not the turf guru. John is a turf expert. Can we give him a little
expert.
More dignity?
Yes, he is. Yeah. We'll turf come up expert. With some nickname for him.
Very good. We'll do that. And Julie Wisenhorn, they're both from the University of Minnesota Extension and helping you out like they do quite often. We really appreciate that, and I know you do as well. So if you have a lawn or garden question, send it in by text or the phone. Same number for both. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Guys, before we get underway, we're both looking out the window, and it's kind of green out there.
It looks
but
dark.
I want to mention a special weather statement from the National Weather Service office here in the Twin Cities. An area of strong thunderstorms will affect Hennepin and central Carver counties. A few minutes ago, strong thunderstorms clustered over St. Bonifacius, or 22 miles south of Buffalo, moving northeast 35 miles an hour. Winds in excess of 40 miles an hour, pea-sized hail are possible with this storm. And also frequent cloud-to-ground lightning occurring with this storm. I remember reading something recently, too, as far as lightning goes. You guys probably knew this. But cloud-to-ground lightning is occurring with this storm. Now, lightning can strike 10 miles away from the thunderstorm.
Wow.
So be thoughtful. Be careful.
It's right over my house.
And you stay tuned to CCO. Dang. We'll keep you apprised of this weather situation. But it is rather dark, at least in downtown Minneapolis. John and Julie, my lawn has been really good. Looking lately, maybe everybody says we've had
quite a bit of rain.
Timely rain.
But what I've done is, and John has mentioned this, and you have too, Julie, is I no longer, at least because I cut it, mow it often, is pick up, bag it, put it right back in the lawn. It looks great. That it didn't. No, why does it look so good? What kind of nutrients are we talking about here? Since we do have fertilization in the lawn.
Yeah. So. We always recommend to return the clippings unless it's in the fall where you're trying to pick up the leaves from tree flitter.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you want to always return the clippings or mulch them in, because as you do that throughout the year, that would equal the equivalent of about one fertilization event of the year. So about half or one third of the amount of nitrogen that the plants need. You're returning back to the lawn, so and that's a continuous source of nutrients for the grass and soil organisms.
Plus, you're saving money.
Absolutely,
yeah, fertilizer, and
yeah.
work.
Yeah, excellent. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, and John, you have a great article in the Yard and Garden News blog on our extension.umn.edu website. I just read it this morning, by the way. It's really good.
Excellent.
Always
having cereal.
We'll mention that before the hour is up too. As you can see, we have textures, we have callers. Let's get to them. Let's see who's been waiting. Gary is calling in from St. Louis Park. Gary, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Denny, Julie, and welcome back, Denny. Nice to have you back on the air.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
See, I have a nice row of hostas in the front of my home facing west, and every year, and they're doing it right now, they're growing these large, what I call tentacles. Can I cut those off, or should I just leave them run their course?
Well, are they the flower buds?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, most people like to grow the hostas and like to have them flower as well. So I guess I leave mine on and let them flower. They're beautiful flowers. They're in the lily family. But if you don't care for them, I guess you can just cut them off.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate the call. And I think we have another lawn question from Tom, who's calling from Little Falls, I believe. Tom, good morning.
Good morning to you, too. I got a question on the lawn. I got those dead spots coming up. Is it too late to do anything with them now?
Dead spots? You don't by any chance happen to have a dog, do you?
No, it's like those supposed to be from moths or grubs.
It could potentially be from grubs, but normally that's more of like a diffuse pattern throughout the lawn. It's not normally just very concentrated spots. That actually sounds more like a certain disease. Could be like a summer patch. But regardless, I would wait until the fall. See, maybe it's going to recover once the temperatures start cooling down. And then just wait until the fall. If it did die, you can just overseed in that area, scratch it up, make sure the seed gets down to the soil. And those should be able to recover just fine.
There's nothing to that those white moths on the grass?
Oh, moss. Well, typically that's going to be from really heavy shade environments, so a lot of shade. But there are some things you can do about that. But generally speaking, just thinning out the trees, or there are some chemical options available, but generally speaking, we recommend just to try to reduce the shade first.
Julie and John in studio answering your questions this morning on our Smart Garden Show. We'll get to some text messages, but Todd is calling in from Ramsey. Todd, what's your question, please?
Good morning. Two quick questions. First, I'm getting that it's been a bumper crop for tomatoes so far, at least where they're going on the vines. But I'm getting the die off at the very bottom, the leaves turning brown and brittle. What can I do? Am I doing something wrong? And the second quick question, I also had a beautiful showing of false indigo plants this year, but now as the flowering has ended and they're kind of collapsing, which seems to normally happen, is it okay to cut them back without harming next year's growth?
So that's the Baptisia or the false indigo. It has a tendency to do that when the soil is very a little bit richer than it might be. And we've had so much rain that plant is just – it kind of tends to flop. And the best thing to do is actually to tie it up. You don't want to really cut it down because those leaves that are on there right now and the stems are actually photosynthesizing. They're creating energy for next year's flowering. And so what I would recommend is get a couple of stakes, put a few around it, and then just put up some twine just to tie those up, kind of group it together and just leave it up like that. And then in the fall, you want to cut those down, maybe it could be as low as 5 inches, 6 inches, because those stems are used or could be used by stem nesting bees also because they're hollow. So you want to leave those up for our overwintering.
Okay. Texter says, I have clover.
Oh, he has questions about tomatoes, too. I'm sorry.
Oh.
He had a question about the tomatoes. So, yeah, now we're starting to see at the base of tomatoes, you might start to see some yellowing, some spotting of leaves. And we have a couple of different diseases that happen. Some pathogens are in the soil. And some of the tomatoes are susceptible to those, and you'll see those. It might be a septoria leaf spot, could be also some kind of a blight, either early or late blight. And so what you want to do is you can remove those leaves right now, but also be careful that you're watering your tomatoes at the base of the plant and not overhead watering. Once you do see that yellowing and that spotting, there's nothing you can really do about it. You can't spray anything. All you can do is remove those leaves when they drop. And then you'll want to rotate your crops next year. So you'll want to grow those tomatoes in a different part of the garden where you haven't been growing any of the nightshade family. Or you want to, if you're growing them in containers right now, then you'll want to really wash your containers with a 10% bleach solution, bleach and water, and make sure that you get a nice clean container and change the soil.
All right. I tell you, there's some text. We can combine a couple of texts here. I have clover and creeping Charlie getting into the lawn. Can I do a weed and feed now? That's one question. What do you think, John?
Okay. I would generally always avoid weed and feed products unless they're really dispersed. And generally, they don't work that well anyways. So I would consider a spot application for the creeping Charlie and the clover. Triclopyr is the name of the active ingredient of a herbicide. It's triclopyr. Triclopyr is really the only active ingredient that would work on the creeping Charlie. And then that would also work on the clover if you wanted to try to control that as well.
How many times per year, texter says, should I fertilize my yard, and what do you recommend for each time?
I think it really just depends on how you use the lawn, but we recommend around 2 to 3 fertilizations a year, and I would focus those mainly in the fall, beginning in mid to late August and ending sometime before October 1st. You could also use one of those 2 or 3 apps in the spring and split that out, and that would probably be fertilized sometime in late April, early May. We have some great publications on our website on how and when to fertilize your lawn, extension.umn.edu. That would answer going into more depth for that.
Yeah, we'll give you that website again, as we always like to do. A great resource. Folks on the line, stay there. We're going to take a quick break. We have more show to come here on our Smart Garden Show. Julie and John will be helping you out the rest of the way. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. Same number for the text messages as well. Okay, John and Julie, we have callers. Let's see if we can't. Some folks have been waiting quite a while. Let's talk to Cheryl, who's calling from Burnsville. Then we want to follow up on a tomato.
Yes, and the moths.
And the moths.
Moths,
yeah.
In the grass.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. Enjoy your show very, very much.
Thank you very much.
I wish it were on longer. Anyway, I have a question for you. My neighbor is exchanging his fence and changing it down, taking it down and replacing it. And I have some boxwood that are real close to it. And I thought, while it's down, is it possible that I can dig out my boxwood and transplant it now into another spot? They're about 20 inches tall, maybe 2 feet tall at the highest. And I have like 6 of them.
Okay. Have they been there a very long time?
They've been there a long time.
Oh, okay. It's going to, I would say it would be a kind of a challenge because of the age of the plants. If you're going to lose them otherwise, if they're slightly over the property line, for example, and he needs to move his fence over, then you may not have a choice. But if you can, I would try to, I don't know what your yard looks like, but I would try to move them. I would try not to move them. That's the first thing. But if you have to, I would try to move them as close to where they are right now as possible. So maybe it's moving them a foot closer in your yard, for example, if they're in a long row. Just because they're clearly growing well if they're that old. And to change the light and change the soil and change the exposure could really hamper their production in the future. So if you're going to move them, I would move them very little. And be sure that you've dug a great big hole, and you really have to work hard to dig them out. That's going to be a tough job to move a 20-year-old shrub or one that's quite old. So any shrub, but particularly boxwoods. But I wouldn't change the exposure because they sound like they're working out real well right now where they are.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. Catherine is calling in from Blaine this morning with a question. Catherine, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm so happy that you guys are online or on the radio so I can ask questions. One thing that I would like to ask about is I have a baby blue spruce. And this spring, it had like pine cones on it. And now it looks like those pine cones were either bitten off or did they fall off? I don't know. It looked like they were taken off some way or the other. And I'm just wondering, is there some kind of fertilizer I should be using for that little guy, or isn't there?
Oh, probably not. They might have been, might be an animal that knocked them off or broke them off or something. I wouldn't worry too much about it. If the rest of the plant is healthy, there are fertilizers for conifers, for evergreens, and they would benefit probably from, from being fertilized once a season or so. So you might want to try that. I would fertilize them now or pretty close into August. You don't want to prompt much new growth. Actually, I'm going to take that back. I would wait and fertilize them in the spring just because you don't want to prompt new growth as we go into fall and the weather starts to change. If we do that, sometimes we risk the chance of losing that new growth to cold. I think if it's looking healthy otherwise, I wouldn't worry about it. Next spring, maybe give it a dose of some evergreen-specific fertilizer.
I know we have to break here in a minute or two, but I know we wanted to follow up on a couple of things.
Right. So I just wanted to mention that now people are seeing these yellowing leaves on their tomatoes, and we have an excellent publication on tomato diseases on our website. So that address is extension.umn.edu. And if you go to plant diseases, you can find information on tomatoes, insects and diseases of tomatoes. And so if you're seeing things and we don't get your question answered, or you find it later in the week, you can go ahead and look at that. There's great pictures there. It explains all about blight and leaf spot diseases.
And I think we may have misunderstood an earlier caller. We thought the gentleman was talking about moss, but we think it was white moths, critters.
Animals.
Correct. So those are fairly typical in lawns this time of year. People most often recognize them when they're mowing their lawn. For the most part, the adults are completely harmless, the adults being the moths that are flying up as you're mowing. But the larvae for those are caterpillars, fall armyworms, or sod webworms. And typically, those are the worms themselves and the caterpillars in that stage can cause damage to turf, but they're normally not a problem in home lawns. And the adults themselves, they don't cause any problem. You don't really have to worry about them. And they'll just basically complete their life cycle and be done.
Good. I'm glad you guys followed up on that. Appreciate it. We have another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. Call in or text in your question, your lawn and garden question. 651-989-9226. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi in studio from the U of M. And we're going to mention that website coming up in just a moment or two. It's a great resource. It's great reading on a rainy day, too, or a winter day, or things like that.
Yeah, turn my mic on.
Yeah. All right. We have so many texts and so many callers. Let's get to them. Shirley in Minnetonka is first up here on the phone, then we'll grab some texts. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, and thank you. I have a question. The soilless mix that we buy our potted flowers in, hanging baskets, if there are no nutrients in that soil, I have a big pile of that soilless mix. What do I use it for?
So soilless mix is usually used to start seeds. And I think you're referring, a lot of the mixtures that we see now is mostly peat. And when you do it, when you transplant those plants, then of course you would transplant it into something that has a little bit more, more soil in it, so to speak. I think I understand what you're talking about. It's a very peaty mix that you see some transplants in right now. If you have a pile of it, you know, you can put it in your compost bin, but you can also, mix it with, another type of, like a topsoil. A lighter topsoil. Some topsoil is pretty heavy and wet, usually is sitting outside, but you can mix it in with that soilless mix and you can use it for containers. And I would recommend using it for ornamentals, not for vegetables in containers, just because you're not really sure if that's, you know, if it's had any pathogens that might transfer then to, say, a tomato or a pepper plant or something. But you can certainly reuse it. Mix in some other, as I said, some other type of soil, and then use it in your containers outside.
All right,
or
Shirley.
You compost it.
Thanks, Shirley.
Yeah.
Texas says, can I use a little Roundup on stubborn weeds at the base of a huge old tree? What do you think?
I think you probably could. So Roundup, meaning the herbicide for the active ingredient glyphosate. You could. I would just recommend make sure if is there any sucker growth or any type of leaves or any type of new growth at the base of the tree, I would try to prune those off first just to be safe. But spot treating weeds around the base of an old tree can be done with that.
All right. Here's a text that says, all of these recent storms have caused our hydrangeas to flop over. Are there ways to prevent this in the future? Should we be cutting those back further in the fall or spring so they're not as long?
Not necessarily. We've had such a good year for hydrangeas. The flowers are huge and they're just beautiful. The best thing to do, actually, if you have them flopping over is to put a big hoop around them in the spring when they're coming up, like a great big peony hoop, as big a one as you can find, depending on the size of the plant. and allow them to grow up through that, and that'll prevent them mechanically from actually flopping over.
Again, the phone number and the text number are the same, 651-989-9226. Bunch of text messages as usual, guys, as usual. I read the flowers on hostas are toxic to dogs, so I cut off all of mine. My dogs like to eat them.
I have not heard they're toxic, so I can't weigh in on that. But, you know, if you're concerned about that with pets, certainly, yeah, go ahead and cut those off then.
Another texter says, I have had a braided Honeycrisp Sweet 16 apple tree for 9 years. The tree bloomed for the first few years, has not bloomed again. Do I need to plant another apple tree to pollinate the braided tree?
Well, you have two trees that are wound together, a Sweet 16 and a Honeycrisp. And so they should be cross-pollinating just because they're, you know, they should be blooming at the same time or roughly the same time and should cross-pollinate each other. It may be that it's just, you know, braiding trees mm-hmm. together. That's usually something we do with tropicals. I've never seen people do that with a apple tree before. And apple trees, both of these trees are fairly large trees. It may be that, you know, they do have years that the plants don't bloom as prolifically as the year before. They kind of alternate. That might be the case. It may be that they're not in a sunny spot. They're not getting enough sun. It could also be that they need some fertilizer. Maybe if it's in a container, you need to transplant it. So probably looking at kind of the conditions. If the trees are healthy otherwise, then it could be one of these other reasons.
All right. Tex says, I have bugs on my potato plants. What do you recommend to use to get rid of them?
It depends what the bug is.
How do you find that out?
Well, you can go to the website and you can go to our potato page, or you can also go to What Insect Is This? And try to find the insect there. And it's probably a potato beetle or something like that. And then it will give you information on managing those pests.
So you even have a potato page?
Yes, we do. Actually, we do. But I think you're going to need to go to the insects page to identify the insect on the potatoes.
Very good.
Or what's wrong with my plant.
And that site is?
extension.umn.edu.
Excellent. Hi, it says, Texter, I have a cucumber plant in a pot with many blossoms but no fruit. The plant looks healthy. Why aren't there any cucumbers?
Well, plants are a little bit behind this year. If you look at the base of the flowers, there are male and female flowers. And if you look at the base of the flowers, you'll see some of them swelling, and those would be the female. That's where the fruit would be developing. So I just was looking at these yesterday with some residential gardeners that I work with over at Lake Minnetonka Shores. And we were looking at cucumber plants, and you can see at the base of the flower the small cucumbers starting to develop. So maybe you just haven't seen that. So look a little bit closer. Pollination is most important when it comes to a lot of these plants, and increasing that means planting flowers for bees and avoiding any kind of pesticide use.
When we were chatting, when you guys first came into the studio, somebody mentioned the phrase state fair, and that's not far away. That's not far
that's
away.
The second time I screamed today.
And we'll be there, of course.
Yes.
But I wanted to ask you guys, John, specifically as far as a turf question. We're getting into the season now of seeding, good time for lawn if you need some seeding. And what about aeration?
Yeah, both of those are great things to bring up. So August 15th is typically the window for the Twin Cities area, actually much of Minnesota. So August 15th is the window that you want to start looking at. If you are going to want to overseed or try to renovate your lawn, you can start doing that then. I would probably stop sometime around late September and not try to seed it any more past that. But the aeration, if you do have some compaction or if you're trying to relieve some thatch, doing that in mid to late August would be the optimal time to do that.
You know, from once in a while, you see folks who are seeding their lawn. They're walking through and they're just throwing the seed on the lawn. What's the best method? Julie's told us about this many times. But John, what's the best method for making sure there's some germination there?
Okay, so I actually did this in my lawn this past spring, and I couldn't believe on how on how effective it actually was. But I just went out right before, yes, as somebody who seeded
even you
lots of acres of turf, I was actually surprised. I did actually seed by hand, but I would not recommend doing that. It's just because I didn't have a spreader at hand or on hand. But what I would do is you can use a drop spreader, which is the best way for actually dropping the seed into the area that you're trying to do that. But you can do that, and if you do it by hand, or if you do it with a drop spreader or a rotary spreader, make sure that you go in multiple directions, and you typically use about half of a rate each direction. But try to time that right before a heavy rainstorm like the one we're getting today. What you want is you want the rain to push the seed down into the soil for great seed-to-soil contact. That's going to really help with germination.
Okay, very good. Let's go back to the phones. Brett, I believe, is calling from Elk River this morning. Brett, you're on CCO.
Good morning. I've got a 14-year-old Japanese tree lilac that's about 5-6 inches at the base, but the top half of the tree did not leaf or germinate or do anything. Most of the small twigs snap right off. I'm reluctant to go out there and start hacking off the top half of the tree because some of those branches are 1.5 or 2 inches. Go ahead.
It didn't leaf out this summer?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Okay.
And there are like little burls, almost the size of an acorn, throughout the tree where stems come off of the main trunks or main branches.
Okay. I'm not sure about those, but it sounds to me like the tree has died. And so maybe you just have to remove it and replace it with something else. If it hasn't leafed out by now, chances are it didn't make it.
Fully leafed.
Oh, the bottom half fully leafed.
Fully leafed and it flowered.
Okay. Oh, it did. Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. So I think what you're experiencing is something that we saw a lot this year where winter kill was really severe on a lot of plants. You can use the wait and see tactic, which is one of my favorite because I like to give the plant another chance through the next winter. If you see the same thing next year, then you'll have to make a decision about pruning off the dead growth or possibly replacing the tree if it's just not an attractive tree anymore.
Okay, very good. John and Julie will take this quick break. We have more Smart Garden Show straight ahead on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Before we get back to John and Julie and your questions, I want to mention this from the National Weather Service. An area of strong thunderstorms are going to be affecting south-central Chisago, Anoka, southeastern Isanti, Washington, Ramsey, northwestern St. Croix, and south-central Polk counties. Strong thunderstorms at the time, a few minutes ago, clustered over Columbia Heights, moving northeast at 40 miles an hour. Locations to be aware of: St. Paul, Cambridge, Brooklyn Park, Woodbury, Coon Rapids, Blaine, Maplewood, Cottage Grove, Inver Grove Heights, Roseville, Andover, and Oakdale. Again, a line of strong thunderstorms occurring right now. In fact, it's very dark and raining here in downtown Minneapolis, maybe where you are as well. The last reported temperature reading, 72. We still are expecting highs near 78 degrees. In the meantime, we have questions to get answered, both by phone and by text. I'll tell you what, let's go to Mary, who's calling from Princeton, I believe. Mary, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've been listening to your show forever, but nobody ever calls in about sweet potato vines.
Yeah.
I bought some, and they're doing good, but something is eating the leaves.
Okay.
Can I put 7 on that?
Well, you don't want to treat it until you know what's eating the leaves.
I can't find anything.
Okay. So we still don't recommend doing any kind of treatment until you do find something.
Well, I don't eat the fruit. I mean, it's just a dirt.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand that, but we don't want you treating with something unnecessarily that isn't going to apply to the insect. It could be any number of things, and until you kind of catch it in the act, then you'll be able to decide what it is to treat it with. Because you could use 7, and it may not be effective.
You know what? I haven't asked you yet. When are the abiders playing?
We will be out at the Arboretum on August 18th. We were just there last weekend. We had a beautiful afternoon and really played. It was kind of a cooperative. We had Andy and Carl and I, and then our buddy Andy Anda, who plays violin, was there. He showed up. And then our old friend Doug Mulland showed up, too, our old guitar player. So we had a great time. It was awesome.
So the 18th.
The 18th of August, we'll be hopefully repeating that bunch. So,
all right. Very good. We'll remind our listeners of that, just ahead of the State Fair.
Thanks for asking.
Sure enough. Texter says, my delphinium will be done blooming soon. When should I cut them back, or can I just leave them?
You should cut them back. When flowers are finished blooming, they will start to put a lot of energy into turning those dead flower heads into seed. And you want to avoid that unless you're growing the plant for the seed. Most of us are growing these for their ornamental, for the flowers. So you want to cut that seed head off. It's called deadheading. And you just take it down to where leaves start to come off of the stem. So in a case of a delphinium, there's a lot of empty stem and then the flower head. And you would want to bring that down and just take it off right above the leaves.
Okay. Texas says, I have a bur oak in Garrison, Minnesota. It was in full bloom last year. We trimmed the bottom leaves probably about 15 feet up in October last year. Those leaves have all returned. All the upper leaves are wilted or dead-looking. Any ideas? They were an overabundance of caterpillars this spring on our deck, wondering if they could have eaten those leaves.
Well, you would see even from afar, you would see probably chewed leaves. You could use binoculars to look at the top of your tree. When you have a really mature tree like this, a beautiful bur oak, you really want to call in a pro to take a look at that in person and assess the damage. And I would recommend calling a certified arborist. And that you can find somebody in by going to the International Society of Arboriculture website. We have a publication on our extension site called How to Hire a Certified Arborist, or How to Hire a Tree Professional. It's on our Trees and Shrubs page of the Yard and Garden website. And that's extension.umn.edu. And then go to Yard and Garden, and then go to Trees and Shrubs. Or you can just Google that on our site, too, or just do a search. That's probably faster. And I would have someone come in and take a look at that, because that could be a number of different issues with that oak. I don't know if there's other oaks around that have experienced oak wilt. It could be that it's just some damage from the caterpillars. It could be storm damage, whatever. But I would call somebody in to take a look at that.
Okay. And just speaking of the website, John, there's for those who want to check out, maybe they want to do more lawn work or learn more about their turf. What's the site there?
So there is the normal extension.umn.edu that has some great resources for consumers, homeowners, beginners. There's also some more advanced information out there at our turf webpage. It's turf.umn.edu. where we may have a little bit more in-depth material for that, but and then also a lot of information for beginners as well.
Oh, good. Texter wants to know, I've always wondered, what's the best way to deadhead petunias?
Well, a lot of petunias are actually self-deadheading, where they drop their flowers and you just have to clean them up off your deck or from underneath the pot, whatever it might be. But I would take those, if you have a type that doesn't do that and it's got a lot of dead flowers on it, then I would just snip those off or pinch them off with your fingernail, just down to the next set of leaves.
You mentioned the Arboretum. I have not been there for a few weeks now. What's going on there?
Oh, it's fantastic. I was there yesterday. Lots of the annual flowers at the intersection of the T and the road of Three-Mile Drive is amazing. Absolutely beautiful. I hope the hail, if they're getting hail out there, I hope it's not, they're not getting it at the Arboretum. But just beautiful. And the hydrangea trials are incredible. The flowers are just beautiful. Those were two that stood out to me as I was driving around and walking around out there. But there's so many things to see. I mean, the gardens are looking top notch right now. So head out there.
And for those folks that have never been there, give us a quick direction.
So you would want to go west on Highway 5, just past the intersection of Highway 5 and 41, County Road 41. It's out just west of, north of Chaska. It's technically in Chaska, but just west of Chanhassen.
And you'll see that big
You'll see the big signs.
And then it's just Google it too. West from there. And John, if I want to do some more work on my yard this time of year, what's the best thing to do?
Maybe turn off your irrigation system if you have it, or at least install a rain sensor. Otherwise, just let it do its thing. And I would hold off on any type of major lawn practices like aerification, weed control applications, or fertilizer. I would hold off on all of those until after we get through this major heat stress, August 15th or so.
And another good advice that you guys give that I follow, short. I leave it.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the best things to do.
The taller, the better.
Makes really a big difference. Good to see you both.
Good to see you, too.
All right.
Thank you.
State Fair around the corner. Well, we'll talk about that
I know.
In a couple of weeks. We'll
love the fair. What am I saying?
And we'll be back next week with more of Lawn and Garden Talk.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.